EXO were on voting at Berkeley Lug. Maybe both.
Okay, cool, yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
And we have a lot of people interested in doing a lot of other. In fact, I just told Ravi, who does the Colonel classes,
okay,
to get in contact and see about doing a prison.
Yeah, that would be. Did you get in touch with Jack beforehand, Berkeley Lug? He was here, and I think he's left now.
I think, yeah. Jack, I'm trying to remember. Yeah, I have a card somewhere.
Yeah, we're having a meeting.
I know where you are.
Yeah, right.
I'll get on the list and say something.
Okay, great. Yeah. You were speaking of netbooks, right? Beforehand.
Yeah, you know Christian Einfeld.
I met him. He was at one of the meetings, but I don't go. I don't.
But what I mean is, have you looked at his digital tipping point videos?
No.
Yes, you must see that.
I'll check him out.
Work together.
I'll check it out.
He would love to help.
Grant. Have you met Grant Bowman?
Oh, yeah.
Grant Bowman? He goes to the San Francisco,
yes,
the lab, to help the kids there with the. I think they do install fest and he does stuff there.
That's Christian's project.
That's Christian's project, right.
Well, that's one of Christian's.
That's one of his projects.
Yes, I'm in that project. We're talking about.
Oh, okay.
Teacher,
oh, wonderful.
About,
okay.
Tell us what lessons he needs. We'll code up everything to
cool.
do DNA animations.
Wow.
Genetics animations. What do you want?
What do you want? Yep. Take your pick. Yep.
I mean, we can program a model of genetic drift. We can do speciation. We can do all kinds of stuff.
I had a question. I don't know if you guys can answer this, but regarding the OLPC,
we've got to come back to what happened with XP.
Oh, yeah.
You don't want to. Cut some of this.
Oh yeah, sure. how does the mesh networking work?
What's the technical, or how well does it work?
Both. Okay. If you could quickly answer.
First on the technical, it's MIT RoofNet. It's been in use for a long time. It's well worked out that certainly for static access points, when you put a point up, it just asks the neighborhood what's out there and figures out the connections.
Uh-huh.
And from then on, you can talk to anybody who's on. We have done a static test where we had 50 prototype XOs 200 feet apart. That's not quite 2 miles, 2,000
mm-hmm.
feet.
Mm-hmm.
And you were able to go end to end, no trouble.
Yeah, right.
With no significant, measurable but not significant delay. And the wireless chips do that without engaging the central processing.
Okay. Interesting.
So that means that we can turn the computer off except to leave the wireless chip on.
Wow.
And it will relay packets
overnight
to the next. You'll want to recharge it the next morning. But it can relay packets overnight to anybody in your neighborhood.
That's amazing. And
kids can go on with their homework while their neighbors are going to sleep.
That's
and
really
they can work
something.
With kids anywhere in the. Anywhere in the village, in reasonable range of their schools. Depending on the terrain, of course.
Okay.
This works a lot better in desert or savanna than it does in deep forest.
Like,
especially rainforest.
It work really good in the outback in Australia.
Oh yeah. Well, yeah. we have a fellow named James Cameron, no relation. Who does our wireless testing in Australia.
Okay.
And he puts them up on 6 feet high and goes off and sees how far. What he's saying is, now this is not the prototype. The prototype we tested at 200 feet. He can do 2 kilometers between.
That's amazing. Wow.
With a line of sight.
This hardware is specific to the OLPC. You can't get
nothing
this.
Else has this.
Nothing else has
now,
this.
Now, when 802.11s goes through, and manufacturers have time to get their chipsets together, people test them, the usual process, which is going to take 2 or 3 years typically. After that happens, then anybody who wants to build it can build it. Whether that will come into consumer products depends on what people think is the use case. Do you want everybody in sight to know what you're doing?
Right.
Typically not.
Right.
Certainly don't want people to go to the airport.
Well,
I can see that on the provider side not liking this because they're the ones who want to charge people $9.95 a day for access.
Well, that's another issue.
If you have one person who basically says, okay, I'll pay for the connection and I'll share it with 50 of my closest friends, that breaks the revenue.
This is going to be an issue on airplanes.
Oh, yeah.
They're putting Wi-Fi in, and they would like to restrict it to business.
Virgin America?
Class.
No, they backed away from that, but the one restriction they're doing now...
Well, I said they wanted to, but they weren't able to.
Not going
to
happen.
Yes.
But the one restriction that they are putting in, no voiceover IP.
Oh, yeah.
That's a serious question.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
Of course, at some point, the demand for voiceover IP on your computer on the airplane is going to become a big deal.
Oh, yeah.
And they're going to have to figure out whether they can keep charging confiscatory rates for the phone in the back of the seat in front of you, or whether they're just going to have to go. Because I guarantee, having written the book, I've been one of the writers of the book on circumvention, about getting around internet censorship and other blocks, I can guarantee that people will be able to run voice over IP, even if all known services are blocked.
Right. One last thing.
Even if they block the SIP protocol, I can set up a gateway.
A tunnel somewhere else.
Set up a Tor onion router or something, and away you go.
Away you go, yeah.
Just the latency becomes an issue.
Well, see, the thing is, if you're doing Tor for anonymity, you need at least three.
Yeah,
but
right.
But for this, you only need one.
You only need one for this. That's true. Yep.
You just need a way to open... For example, say you open an SSH connection to somewhere. Doesn't even have to be Tor.
Doesn't have to be Tor,
SSH.
Yeah.
And run SIP from there.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, precisely.
They will have no idea what you sent. They'll
see They'll just see, right. And to wrap this up,
but I still have to finish on that.
Okay, finish. But if I want to buy an OIL PC right now, where can I do it? eBay is the best place. The give one get one is you guys stopped that?
For a month and a half, twice. Okay. November, December.
Is it planning on? Are you planning on doing it again this year?
There are definitely people who want to do it. I can't say that it's actually planned, and I can't say that it's actually going to happen. But next year there will be a $75 XO2.
Wow.
You should check the specs on the website.
Interesting.
Dual screen, dual haptic, that means force feedback, multi-touch. One of them, you can run it in a book mode, two pages, in a normal landscape mode screen with the touch keyboard, and with the force feedback it actually works to type on a screen.
That's
you
amazing.
Can tell where the keys are.
Yeah. $75?
$75. It's on Mary Lou Jepsen's website. It's on the XO2 page at laptop.org.
Crazy.
Now, it won't necessarily be $75. That's a projection from being able to integrate a lot more chips than they did in the XO1. From a new generation of chips, new graphic controller, new Wi-Fi chip that Marvell has promised, a few other things. Switching to an ARM chip from AMD Geo, which will be even lower power. And I don't know all the other changes, but maybe the MCG 3G screen or some variation of that. Mary Lou Jepsen has a video at OLPC.tv in which she says she doesn't know what it's going to be.
Check it out, yeah.
The tech people at OLPC and her tech people and herself, they're all discussing what should it be to be the most educational bang for the buck, given the fairly severe hardware requirements of poor people, in terms of ruggedness, in terms of low cost, low power, and then you come back to the